progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, October 8th, 2017, and I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz. I'm here to chat with Maddie and Dan for our monthly Ask an Atheist. This is an open conversation, and we welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio@mnatheist.org, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. The phone number is only available when we are live, but you can also email or tweet us whether we're live or you're listening on the podcast. Today's guests are Maddie and Dan. Thank you for joining us.
Good to be here.
Definitely. Hey, thanks for having us.
Awesome. I do have a bit of early housekeeping this morning. As many of you who are podcast listeners know, there's a bit of a uproar about the Mythicist Milwaukee convention and some of the guest problems they had there. And as the producer of Atheist Talk, I just wanted to say that I welcome a variety of opinions. However, if I do feel that someone is going to be insulting or threatening to one of my volunteers or our listeners, we will not have them on the air because I think that an open forum deserves respect. So, did we want to talk about that for just a short moment? Since you two are like some of the volunteers.
Well, I would have to say that as a trans woman who is actively hated on by many of the controversial figures that attended Mythicist Milwaukee, I'm grateful. Like, I don't mind arguing points of view with people. And I guess if we were going into it knowing, like, hey, we're going to butt heads, we're going to do this strictly for ratings or whatever, maybe. But I'm like, what it feels like, the people that organized Mythicist Milwaukee, I'd want to be upfront about that. Hey, everybody, this is a rating show.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it really felt like that's what it was. You know, and they from some of the things I read, they were kind of, you know, they said, it's like, well, we want to keep our numbers up here. We, you know, the a lot of cons and stuff are losing some people, including atheist ones or conventions. And I think they just saw this as a way to get some publicity, because I'm going to be honest, I'd never even heard of them. And so let's bring in somebody who makes rape apologist jokes and stuff like that. And sadly, there's going to be a bunch of people that think that's acceptable and want to hear that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I'm a person who goes to a lot of, well, not a lot, but I go to some sci-fi conventions. Specifically, I go to Convergence, which is a very large one. Mm-hmm. It's about 6,000 or 7,000 people in the middle of, you know, Bloomington. I go very far for this convention. However, I remember when we first started putting in a harassment policy and, you know, we have signs everywhere that costumes are not consent and, you know, the different things that go with that. And
they're there for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
Because of past behaviors.
Exactly.
And continued behavior.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. And you know how many people I've seen drop out of Convergence because of these policies? Like, none. And the people who would, I really wouldn't want them there anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that's an important point, too. You know, in the atheist and skeptic, because Mythicist, I believe it was more of a, billed itself at least as a skeptic conference than an atheist one, although there's overlap. It felt like they were trying to bring in some pretty big names from the atheist movement to give themselves credence, to give themselves some sort of make themselves look important.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look at the list of people who dropped, you have Seth Andrews, Matt Dillahunty. Well, Dillahunty didn't drop. He still attended, but yeah. It sounded like he was not thrilled about it.
He just posted a response video. It was like an hour and a half, well, 69 minutes long. And he started out with, I know, like, great. For a good joke on that, I'll listen later. He started out by pointing out that I will never be reattending unless there's a change in direction and in organization and management or and whatnot. Like, this is not. And he had mentioned in this video that one of the main reasons he went was he doesn't follow in YouTube. He's on YouTube, but he's not a YouTuber. He doesn't follow these people. He doesn't know much about them. Then he started hearing stuff about them. He's like, well, I'm contractually obligated to show up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a feeling it was something like that.
You know, he did his contractual obligation. He showed up and he's like, this is, and he made sure he voiced his displeasure, you know, personally. Like, this is horrible. Like,
yeah. Then you had, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so let's then maybe just touch on I think, a really important question, which is, okay, Thomas Smith, who, if you're not aware of him, he does multiple different podcasts and is very active in social media and the atheist movement, and very well-known entity and garners a lot of respect.
Also a nice guy.
And yes, and apparently seems to be a really nice guy from everything I can tell. But, you know, he decided to go ahead and go on. And there's a lot, he took a lot of flack for that. But I think it raises, you know, this question. Okay, so if you're invited to something like that, do you just say, no, I'm not going to lend my name and my you know, reputation and everything to bolster this event because I disagree with the people that are there? Or do you say, well, you know, really, there needs to be somebody, there needs to be an adult in the room, and somebody needs to be there to offset this? And I think that's a really difficult question. How do you feel about that? If it's you, what position do you take, and or is it too nuanced to really make a decision just out of the blue like this?
I'll be honest, I think Thomas went into that situation with the best intentions. And, you know, I'm not going to fault him for, you know, giving it a shot, you know, mm-hmm. to try to say, you know, hey, maybe we can talk to people. And it sounds like there were a couple people who maybe came out going, oh, maybe this isn't as funny as I thought it was. Mm-hmm. You know, to which I'm like, well, there's something. How the audience responded, I think, was one of the biggest backlashes for him, was just like that there was cheering for this kind of stuff. He's had a couple of episodes come out that I haven't listened to yet, kind of in response to this. But it's one of those, I know that he was just devastated.
Yeah, he's said that he was wrong and he shouldn't have. But again, how do you feel, Maddie?
I guess I'm okay. I think it's a case-by-case basis. Mm. Something like this where the conference is, nobody knows about it, really,
right.
Except for the people that are attending. I think I would lend more to, I'm not going to lend my name to it. Now, mm-hmm. it's also different for me because I don't have a huge platform that I'm bringing. Yes, I've got, you know, my staple podcast base, but
right.
I don't have 700,000 YouTube,
right.
whatever. So
unique, like, listeners, oh, and
yeah, I mean,
the
like
dream, the dream.
No, because like I would rather have the people that do listen, you know, the couple thousand that listen to me, who I feel are probably decent people, than have 700,000 people who think that it's fun to like debate online on which women they should rape or not.
Right.
I don't want people like that to like me.
And I don't think that's something that we as atheists and members of the atheist movement you want either. It's
right.
Like, I don't want the tent to be so big that anybody, no matter what their morality is, feels welcome. There are certain people with certain views I don't think should feel welcome. Mm-hmm. If I wouldn't invite them over to my house, I don't know why we'd have them on the air.
Right, because this is sort of, I mean, it's not our house, but this is our space. This is where we amplify voices, and we want people that come in here.
I was going to say, technically, it's my house.
That's true.
It's like, no, this is not welcome, because my feeling is I'm very big on the community building of the atheist movement and the atheist community. And my thing is that if you can't, if you're going to have so many people feel unwelcome because you have people who are saying things that are frankly just not nice and respectful, like decent levels, like bare minimum levels of respect here, if they can't follow that, no, that's ostracizing people who are wonderful. That, yeah, that would make me so mad.
And you know, I looked into this just a tiny bit, not as much as some people have, but like Sargon, what's his last name?
Sargon of something. Of something.
Thanks, Hunter.
That one.
He also looking doesn't like he doesn't spend a lot of time on. He calls himself a skeptic, but I don't think that's really what he does primarily.
We have Hunter asking if we could recap what happened. Okay. So basically what happened is Mythicis,
Wisconsin,
Milwaukee, they put together this convention. They invited a bunch of prominent atheist podcasters and then I guess prominent YouTubers.
Basically just prominent atheists across different media platforms.
Yeah. And the YouTubers were generally, the YouTubers had some social ideas that are just not very nice. Things like making rape apology jokes or just bad taste rape jokes. Things that women aren't really equal or that trans is not a good thing.
Yeah. And you know, Carl Benjamin also, who's Sargon, he's talked about like Richard Spencer being his guy or our guy. You know, I don't know that he's tied to the alt-right at all.
Mm-hmm.
And but by alt-right, I mean Nazi. I don't know that that's his ideology, and I don't know that he's tied to that. He bills himself as somebody who's a liberal, but who, like, liberals are so out of whack that he has to defend the right. Right, exactly.
That just sounds weird.
So, like, he's also, like, he goes beyond just, like, kind of problematic. He...
yeah, so... And then, so Thomas Smith actually tried to talk to this Carl guy and it didn't go well. You know, he called out a tweet that was a rape apologist and people cheered. So right.
I wouldn't even rape you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, with that, we will continue our conversation after the break, and you can join us at KNF AM 950 KTNF. Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned in to Atheist Talk, and I'm your host, Hertzy Hertz. Today, we have Maddie and Dan in for our monthly Ask an Atheist, so please give us a call. Before we get back, however, I want to remind everyone listening that immediately following the program, you can listen to American Atheist Viewpoint, an official production of the American Atheist. So stick around and remember, you can always catch American Atheist Viewpoint by subscribing to the podcast version in iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or the podcast player of your choice. As for the here and now, if you want to get involved, and I do strongly suggest it, in the conversation with Maddie and Dan this morning, you can call us at 952-946-6205 or email us at radio@mnatheist.org or tweet us at Atheist Talk. Maddie, Dan, welcome back.
Thanks.
Awesome.
So we were talking a little bit during the break, and Maddie made a really good point, I thought, or observation. Would you like to share that again with our listeners?
Yeah, it's, you know, one of the reasons that they brought up or about wanting to bring in controversial content was talking about numbers being down. And what it reminds me of is when I'm scrolling through Facebook and I see a BuzzFeed article and it's like, you know, Applebee's is dying because of millennials, you know.
You're welcome.
Number 15 is going to kill you for what they don't buy anymore.
They're not buying big cars anymore.
Yeah.
You're welcome. <It's> As like, a millennial in this room.
it's like, regardless of the reasons, like I always think, well, maybe you should just make a better product, mm-hmm. or maybe you should change and adapt. It's like the millennials aren't killing your business. Your business isn't changing with the times.
Right.
So
it's not evolving. Hey, Evelyn.
Yeah.
Hey.
So if you're hosting a conference and you're seeing your numbers go down, you have two choices. You can, you know, keep doing what you're doing because you still have a core base that apparently is very, very interested, or you could reach out and maybe not reach out for the sole purpose of getting bigger numbers, but look back at yourself and go, are we happy doing what we're doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then what could we do? Like, what could we bring on or how could we change that stays true to who we are?
If you're Applebee's, your goal is to make money, probably.
Exactly.
You probably
you don't care.
Yeah. So then just make whatever changes. If you're something like, you know, Minnesota Atheist, then our goal is not just to make money.
Right.
You know, we have other reasons for existing.
Right. And in fact, if for some reason Minnesota Atheists decide, you know, we want more people to join and we don't care, so we're going to start talking about how much we love Jesus,
mm-hmm.
I would leave the organization because it would be antithetical to the, like, why I would have wanted to join to begin with.
I would be out so fast the door couldn't even hit me on the way out.
Well, it's the same thing with the convention. Like, mm-hmm. why did your convention start? What was your point? What was your mm-hmm. main goal? And you need to make sure that if you're changing your main goal, that it's consistent, or that you're at least be admitting, like, hey, we're changing our focus.
Yeah, because let's be just brutally honest here. Okay, you know, they bill themselves as a skeptical convention, right? There's nothing logical, rational, or evidence based in harassing and bullying. There's nothing there. It's a dead end. It's an empty track. So you've just left completely, like, the station, right? You're no longer being what you claim to be. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah, if they want some business ideas as far as, like, getting, like, looking at how you can motivate things and do this, I have a list of books that I've been reading for work that's all about how to look at changing your business and stuff. It's not even like very specific, oh, you need to do this exact thing, but kind of in a sense, almost philosophy wise. And they're great books.
Is one of them The Secret? I read that. That's really good.
I have no, one of them's not, but I should put it on the list maybe. It's like Good to Great by Jim Collins. And then the other one is Scaling Up, which is kind of like the Rockefeller Habits. Part two, maybe, but they're really interesting.
So I think I want to segue here because we're talking about atheists and who's in this. We're talking about group mentality a little bit, you know. So who are atheists? You know, who's the atheist next door? And you know, we talk about this all the time. It's like you probably don't even think you hardly know any atheists or whatever. And there's a lot more of us, you know, than you think. The number of people who actually claim to be atheists is still pretty dang small here in America, but it's growing, which is kind of good. Back in Pew did some research, and in 2014 they came up with a number of 3.1% of American adults who would say that they are actual atheists. That sounds like a pretty small number, but that's up from 1.6% just 7 years earlier in 2007. That's actually pretty amazing growth. That's doubling in 7 years. I think any organization would be pretty happy with those kind of numbers. And then there's another 4% of Americans who call themselves agnostic, which is, again, almost doubling the number from 2007. I'm wondering, do you think this is because there are more atheists now? There are more people who are agnostic, and the numbers get even bigger, up into like 20%, et cetera, or more. I'm sorry, I don't have those numbers in front of me. Like, if you say not affiliated religiously, but people who actually take the agnostic or atheist name, do you think there are more, or is it just people are more okay with saying, yeah, I'm an atheist?
I think that with the internet helping to connect people, and then also helping them to connect in like the livosphere, the real life stuff, with these groups popping up, people are realizing that they're not alone. So it's easier for them to start looking at that and being able to come out. You know, we have so many things that help people, like what's that one for the pastors?
The Clergy Project.
Yeah, the Clergy Project. Yeah. You know, and that helps people who have devoted their entire life to this, and then they find out, oh, all of this is BS, and now I need to find like an actual job.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that part of the problem with people not wanting to identify as atheist, why that number stays small, even though we've got a large, the nuns category grows or the agnostic category grows,
especially in younger people,
it's the negative connotation that comes with atheists, that when, you know, the people that we were just talking about, they identify as atheists too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like atheist is a big tent word. There's a lot of people that can identify as atheist and still have horrid worldviews.
Yeah, it doesn't say that you believe this or you believe that, except for one thing. Do you believe there's a God?
Right, but I think that a lot of people who aren't atheists, maybe who have raised in a church or weren't raised around people who identify as atheist, they don't see atheism the way we do, where it's like, this is just talking about one belief.
Mm-hmm.
They're seeing atheism as a worldview.
Right.
And we've probably all been in conversations with people like that who are like, well, atheism is just another religion.
Right.
And it's like, no, it's not. Yeah. It's like...
Right. A unicornist. I'm not, you know, right, don't believe in unicorns.
You don't believe in unicorns?
No, I need more. I just need more evidence.
You should, Dan, this might be the end of our friendship.
Give me a little bit more evidence.
I recommend Craigslist. It's easier to find unicorns on there, but that might be a topic for a different show.
I was going to say, we might be talking about different unicorns.
Oh, no. Probably not.
Yeah, I've got a comment. I'm not even going to say it right now. Maybe for the patron-only show.
Oh, by the way, if you are a patron, we are going to be starting some patron-only content, hopefully this week. So stick around for that.
You know, that,
or subscribe to our patron.
That's also something, you know, as far as worldview and that sort of thing. 69% of atheists identify as Democrats or lean that direction. 56% call themselves liberal, and only 10% call themselves conservatives. I think that's kind of some interesting numbers, and I wonder if that's not related more towards being Christian, being tied to being conservative here in America. I'm not sure exactly how that works. But.
Well, that's a question that's going to have to wait, and we actually have an emailed question in from Jeff, so we'll get to that right after the break.
All right.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm your host, Hertz Hertz. In studio, we're having what I would definitely classify as a fun conversation with Maddie and Dan. Before we continue with this conversation, which will be our final segment with Maddie and Dan, there's a bit of housekeeping I need to attend to. Atheist Talk is produced with funding from the Minnesota Atheist and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina. Please consider visiting our sponsors, and if you do, let them know that you appreciate their support of Atheist Talk. If you'd like to advertise on the program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.com. I also want to note that our group of dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of you, our listeners. You help keep Atheist Talk on air and in podcast form. I also want to note our donors of the week. We have Ross up on Patreon.
Yay, and, Ross.
And our donation is from the Radio Fund page. Personally, I like to use this show to be able to talk and share about life experiences and to show how we really are just people. If you are able to help with the donation, please consider doing so at our Radio Fund page or our Patreon at www.patreon.com/atheisttalk. Minnesota Atheist is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization, and we couldn't do the show without you, and we deeply appreciate your support. Music for Minnesota Atheist is by composer and member Brent Michael Davis and is used with permission. Please note all opinions of the guests and hosts are of the guests and hosts only and do not necessarily reflect those of Minnesota Atheist organization. As always, check out the Minnesota Atheist website for podcasts and previous programs. You can browse articles, book reviews, and peruse the calendar of upcoming events. We have tons of activities all around the Twin Cities and outlying suburbs, like the book fair next week, where Minnesota Atheists will be sharing a booth with Free Thought Publishing. You can also sign up for the Atheist Weekly email, which will tell you when all these events are happening, like the book fair on the 14th, and it's a great way to stay connected with the community. If you enjoy this show and all that Minnesota Atheists has to offer, please consider becoming a member of Minnesota Atheists while you're on the website. Your help support helps us better serve you. I was almost perfect. With all that relevant and very useful information out of the way, let's get back to the conversation with Maddie and Dan and our wonderful patron donor, Jeff, with his email. So he has a couple of questions. His first question is, are there atheist billboards up and around the Twin Cities these days? I see two religious billboards every day on the I-94, a Pray for Your Street billboard and a Jesus is Real billboard with a phone number to call. I know that we have, okay, so I'm also a member of the board, full disclosure. We have had some billboards up before. We did have one that had some hilarious backlash because we used Comic Sans, which was interesting because we were actually trying to make fun of a billboard that was all like anti-abortion. I know one of the reasons that we don't often have billboards is billboards are kind of expensive.
Right.
It's a fair amount of money to do that.
So I don't think we have any up currently.
No, correct? We don't.
Right.
Oftentimes we'll see if we can get one up during the Saints game when we do that.
The Aints game. Right.
If we can. But yeah, they're really spendy. So as much as we'd love to do that, it's so much money.
It's interesting that there's questions though that people have. It's like, should we put up a billboard or not? Or
yes.
You know, yeah. Why not? And you know, then
with funding, yes.
Right. And should it be, you know, is it okay to use Comic Sans or gently mock? I mean, you know, if you don't feel like even gentle mockery is acceptable, then I think you see the problem. If we're living in a society where you can't even poke a little bit of fun at something, where even members start to worry about that sort of thing, it's like, that's how conditioned we are.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing else I can think of in our society that we couldn't gently mock and and of course there will always be people who complain, but in general it's like, you know, I mean, that's it just seems, it's interesting to me.
Well, even American Atheists, when they've put up billboards around the country that aren't mocking at all, they're just mm-hmm. more like, if you don't believe in God, you're not alone.
Yeah,
here's a number you can call if you want to talk to somebody, here's a website you can go to.
Yeah.
They get defaced, they get, you know, shamed, like, how could you do this, why are you in our face, why are you bullying us, why are you ostracized? It's like
the thinnest skin ever in,
like,
the,
you know, it's
have
okay.
they walked down the street? You can't go more than 6 blocks without running into a church and a cross.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, regardless of whether what the kind of billboard that we're gonna put up, not that we are, but if we were to put up, we're going to make somebody mad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think you just kind of have to accept that. And I think, you know, that message really is a good one to say, hey, you aren't alone, because, you know, if you've, I think, you know, Jordan, who's regular here, he's talked about, you know, growing up in the South and stuff and feeling like, man, I'm it. I don't have, you know, there's nobody else to talk about things that we're going to have a similar viewpoint on coming to conclusions on things like, you know, well, a lot of things. So,
all right. Well,
anyways.
Jeff has a second question.
Yeah.
Have any of us ever heard of being unbaptized?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
No. I actually was debaptized. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF, has a thing where you can send in, it's like $5, and they'll send you 2 embossed debaptismal certificates signed by Dan Parker.
Ooh.
So,
like, physically signed, or
yeah,
is it like a ooh,
no, actually signed, because
nice.
He's that guy.
Oh, he is that guy. He's awesome.
So yeah, I went ahead and did that. I'll admit I'm not sure where I placed it, but it was pretty exciting to get that. I thought it was pretty fun.
Ironically, it suffered water damage.
Oh. I actually
should have laminated it. That's all you need.
Yeah, Minnesota Atheist. A year ago, maybe 2 years ago, we had an event where we did unbaptizing, and we had a hair dryer, and, you know, we everyone stood in front of the hair dryer, and it was against our forehead, or one person had a full immersion baptism, so we got like kind of an industrial fan, and we got a certificate afterwards, and it was a lot of fun.
So that's something I suppose, you know, we could set up with like in the summer when we do the picnics and sort of thing. We could easily do something like that, I would think, too, if people were interested.
Oh yeah, you should bring that to the board.
Yeah, if only I knew somebody on the board.
Oh, darn.
But if you do that near a lake and there's swimming involved, doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose? Do you kind of just accidentally re-baptize yourself and forget to unbaptize?
I think if you use a hair dryer in the lake, there's going to be other issues.
Then you do your hair dryer.
That's going to
you do your hair dryer, you and I, at your picnic, but then you go swim. Oh. And now you're just sort of re-baptizing yourself. Because it has the same significance as a dip of
water. Okay. The good news is the picnic isn't at a lake, and I don't think we do swimming.
Good. And that's why I don't shower.
Right. Good. Good. Well, that's the sprinkling. Okay, that's the sprinkling versus full immersion thing. They've had enough wars over that already.
We are not getting into the semantics of unbaptizing.
I don't know how many people have died over that question.
I think we should have a schism in the atheism community over the proper way to debaptize somebody. I mean, these are important questions that we need to get to.
Right. Is the teapot, you know, is it filled with Earl Grey, or is it a, you know, chai? I mean,
it's Earl Grey.
Piping already have issues.
Yeah. Earl Grey piping hot. Sorry, Picard's my captain.
Yes, yes. Pip, 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 pip.
Well, yeah, I got nowhere to go from there. I have nothing to say.
And Adam had a belly button.
Well, thank
you. And the egg came before the chicken. Okay, I'm so happy we could, like, you know, take care of all of these big questions for people.
You know, seriously, on baptism, like, I think I can see how that's a huge deal for some people.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was such and being baptized was a really big deal in my life when I got baptized.
How old were you?
I was, like, 19.
Really?
Yeah, because that was during my fundy phase.
Yeah.
And, but now, like, for me, it's not a big deal.
Right, but for some people, maybe.
Yeah.
I was baptized when I was 12, I think. You know, it's kind of, that's about the age that I was raised Seventh-day Adventist, that they do that sort of thing. And, you know, I was still a believer then, obviously. And
actually, you know, I had never heard of it, but as hearing you two talk about it, I think it's something great to offer people.
Yeah, it's a closure thing for some people, and I can get that. For me, it was more just a lark to get it, but...
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that was for me, too. It was just because I was a baby when I was baptized, so I have no memory of it.
But I, you know, I also had... I'm sorry.
No, I was thinking, even if it's just a lark,
mm-hmm.
that's still... Depending on how serious it was when you got baptized,
mm-hmm.
the fact that you can now do something, poke fun at a previous belief, and do it as a lark. I mean, that's huge. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. You know, for me, a bigger thing was when I actually contacted the church that I used to go to, because they keep you on the books forever unless you actually say, please take me off the books. They keep their numbers looking good that way. That was a bigger deal for me. It's like, hey, I've now officially cut every line with this, even the ones that really don't matter. So, yeah, I think you make a good point.
Yeah, well, even with your name on the books, they're still sort of using your name for power and influence.
Oh, yeah. They're like, hey, look how many people we have in this church.
We have a call, guys.
So,
Jim from Minneapolis, you are on the air.
Hey, good morning. As long as you guys are talking about baptism, I thought I'd remind you of an incident with Robert Ingersoll.
Oh, do tell.
When he was a young man, he was at a dinner, and somebody asked him what he thought about baptism, and he said, well, with soap, it's a good thing.
You see, Maddie?
Thank you so much for that, Jim.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, I guess I'll get baptized when I go home.
Just baptize yourself with soap.
I feel like I should use water, too.
Well, yes, that too.
Not here to judge. Not here to judge. So, oh, all right. So, I think we've covered that. We were talking a little bit about, you know, who atheists are and that sort of thing. The people who call themselves atheists, there's still a stigma, I think, that you have to remember it was only a few decades ago that atheist was used as the worst pejorative you could think of. It was like, you know, oh, what are you, some sort of atheist, meaning you're anti-American, you're anti-everything good, and you hate all, you know, because we're fighting the communists.
And communist rapists.
Right. Yeah.
Tasty.
So
they are. This is the reason I don't go for president of the board.
It's still, we're still at a position also where over 50% of Americans say they are less likely to support an atheist candidate for president. There are still, how many states is it? I think eight, something, I can't remember.
More than
states
one.
States that still have something on their books about not being able to hold a public office if you're an atheist. Now, that isn't something that they actually push, and so we haven't, it hasn't gone to the Supreme Court, which it would...
Well, it actually has gone to the Supreme Court in the past, and those laws are unconstitutional, they can't be enforced, but
right.
You don't have... It's still going to the same point that you're making, though, is if you were to put something out there to say, hey, let's remove this old blue law, it's not enforceable
right.
Anyway. The population is not going to go for it
right.
In Texas.
The fact that it's still there is amazing. I mean, personally, I would never stand for something like that in a state law that said it's like, oh, you can't have a Christian, you know, person be in office or a Muslim. I can't even imagine getting behind something like that. You know, just because somebody's views are different doesn't that's what's truly un-American. That's
right.
That's really, really a terrible, terrible sort of thing. But because, you know, we still have these things floating around, which is why it is sometimes hard to come out, and which is why we have a community here that's all embracing. So there.
So your thing about the blue laws made me think about some of the laws that we've had on the books that, you know, have been overturned in recent years, like the sodomy laws and things like that. And according to Wikipedia, before the 2003 ruling, 27 states and the District of Columbia and four territories had repealed the law. It's just one of those, it's like, it's kind of the same thing. It's like, why even have this on the books? And we're going to end with that. Sorry. With that awkwardness. Thank you for tuning into Atheist Talk. We'd love for you to join us again next Sunday, which should be another exciting episode. And if you are a Patreon, do keep an eye on our Patreon page, where we should have our first patron-only episode that we'll be recording right after this.
Welcome to the American Atheist Viewpoint. I'm Nick Fish, National Program Director for American Atheists, and thank you as always for joining us. It's been been a very busy week here in the world of First Amendment law, religious exemptions, and church-state separation. So I'm going to dive right in. On Friday, the Trump administration, through the Department of Health and Human Services, issued a new rule that would allow any employer, and that is any employer, private, public, anything, to request an exemption from the Affordable Care Act's contraception mandate. That is the mandate that all employers have to provide and all insurance plans have to cover contraception at no out-of-pocket cost to people. This is a provision that's been controversial from the start, but it's also been controversial because the Obama administration included in its initial guidance exemptions for religious organizations. The Supreme Court in Hobby Lobby said that that wasn't good enough and extended that protection or extended that exemption to closely held private corporations like Hobby Lobby. Now the Trump administration is extending that exemption to all employers. So that means any closely held private company, that means any huge multinational publicly traded company can now just tell their employees, hey, we're not going to cover contraception anymore. They don't have to seek permission from the government. They don't even have to notify the government. All they have to do is say, is tell their employees that they're going to no longer offer it. If they choose to do it immediately, which they can, they just have to send a letter to their employees. If they choose to do it at the start of the next year, they don't even have to notify their employees except through the normal process through which changes in coverage are notified or are given out to people who are covered. This obviously affects a lot of people. The contraception mandate means that the vast majority of women who receive health care coverage through their employers no longer have to pay out-of-pocket copays. The main issue here, though, is that the government is extending a religious freedom argument or a religious freedom exemption to private corporations, to public corporations, to huge corporations who have hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of shareholders. How exactly is it that Walmart, a publicly traded company, can have a religious view on anything? It's a corporation. And I mean, that's just one of the issues here. The recurring issue with all of this around the contraception issue specifically is that the government is picking which things, which procedures, which medical things, which medical procedures are reasonable to have an objection to. The government is saying that it's totally reasonable for you to have an objection to contraception because so many people do, or because it's a reasonable thing and to have a religious objection to it. But the government is oddly silent. The people who are so concerned about religious freedom for employers, about not wanting to force religious employers to cover things in their insurance that they themselves wouldn't use, they're so concerned about employers' freedom, but no one is saying a word about Jehovah's Witnesses and a Jehovah's Witness employer having to cover blood transfusions. Blood transfusions are covered as a matter of course in every healthcare plan. No one is saying anything about Christian Scientists or people who believe in faith healing having to provide health insurance at all. Is the government going to investigate to determine whether or not your claims of being a Christian Scientist or a believer in faith healing are sincerely held? What are they going to do? See how often you go to church? Are they going to, like, how do they determine that? If I don't want to provide insurance, if I don't want to have that cost, all I have to do is then say, I object to all forms of medical treatment. That's the logical conclusion to this. If they were being honest, if they weren't being hypocrites about what they were actually concerned about, they would extend this to all those other religious exemptions. But they're not. They're hypocrites. All they care about is ensuring that one particular version of one particular religious interpretation, one particular religious view is able to be enforced by employers on women. And that is the view that birth control is a privilege and that, you know, people should be punished for sex and that birth control is immoral. You know, this is a view of the Conference of Catholic Bishops and certain hyper-religious evangelical groups. This isn't the majority view. And so that's that. We put out a statement condemning it, obviously. About three or four different organizations have already said they're going to sue on this. This is going to be in court for quite some time. The next thing is that the Department of Justice issued guidance about religious freedom and religious liberty issues, saying that essentially any process or any government action has to be viewed through the large lens that grants the largest deference possible to religious views, essentially taking the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and putting it on steroids and saying that any type of government action that impacts anyone's religious freedom is suspect. This guidance is extremely vague. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen here, but this is creating loopholes that are big enough to drive a truck through. Loopholes on civil rights legislation, loopholes on LGBT equality issues, loopholes on abortion, loopholes on even potentially racial anti-discrimination laws and existing anti-discrimination laws. Again, this is more vaguely stated, but this is specifically a shot across the bow at LGBT people. The religious right has lost the fight on trying to legislate their moral disapproval of LGBT people. They've lost that fight. They're losing the fight on anti-discrimination laws. And so now what they're doing is saying, okay, well, we're just going to exempt ourselves from everything. And that's, it's transparent. This is a payback. This is a thank you from the Trump administration to their backers on the extreme flank of the religious right. The last thing to mention is I previously talked about a letter that we sent to Louisiana schools regarding kneeling during the national anthem, and that was completely constitutional. We've now found out that the teams in question, the football team in question, the school in question, and the school district in question, at their most recent football game, actually opened with a prayer broadcast over the public address system at the stadium, as well as continuing their policy of potentially disciplining any student who protests. So we've gotten together with the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the American Humanists Association, the Center for Inquiry, Secular Student Alliance, and Secular Coalition for America, and American Atheists, all got together and sent a joint letter to the district, to the school's principals, to the head of the Louisiana High School Athletic Association, as well as the Association of School Boards, informing them that their guidance, their rules are unconstitutional, and that these prayers are unconstitutional, and we're demanding that they take corrective action immediately. So it's been a very busy week, as I said. That's all the time I have for this week. For more information about what we're working on, please visit www.atheists.org. You can read those press releases at atheists.org/news. We also have an announcement about our national convention. The Save the Date page is up also at atheists.org, so check that out. And we'll talk to you next week. Thanks so much.